WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Milos Forman, directed the new film The People vs. Larry Flynt, starring Woody Harrelson as the publisher of Hustler magazine. A couple of weeks ago on our archive show, we featured an interview in which Forman discussed growing up in Czechoslovakia, first under the Nazis, then under the communists. We invited him back to talk about his new movie. His other films include The Loves of a Blonde, Fireman's Ball, Hair, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Amadeus, and Ragtime. The People vs. Larry Flynt follows Flynt's rise from small-time strip joint owner to pornography mogul. It also follows Flynt in and out of court as he uses the First Amendment to defend himself against obscenity charges. During one of his obscenity trials, he was shot outside the courthouse, leaving him paralyzed from the waist down. In this scene, he's about to board a plane in defiance of a court order not to leave Los Angeles. His lawyer, played by Edward Norton, is fed up with Flynt's courtroom antics and his continued defiance of judges.
Larry! Hey! Larry!
Hey, hey. Larry, you're not getting on that plane.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. Don't do it. Do you think this is some kind of a game we're playing?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's a f***ing joke. 5.5 years since they shot me and the government...
Hey, I was there too, all right? You remember? You don't see me running around pissing off everybody we're trying to get to help us.
Yeah, well, you can walk and you can f***, and I'm in this chair. And I got money, okay? I got money and that gives me the power to shake up this system, Dougie.
Well, find somebody else to help you then. Because this is not what I signed on for. I don't even know what we're engaged in anymore, Larry. If you get on that plane, I quit.
Alan, don't be so melodramatic. You don't want to quit me. I'm your dream client. I'm the most fun, I'm rich, and I'm always in trouble.
Director Milos Forman says he didn't even read the screenplay for The People vs. Larry Flynt when it was first given to him. He assumed it was an exploitation film about a sleazy character. But when he learned Oliver Stone was one of the producers, he read the screenplay and changed his mind about it. I asked what surprised him about the screenplay.
Surprised to discover that there is much more to a person who is known on only under one label. You know, it's... That's the danger, you know. It's we put a label based on our judgment about what this person is doing, like Larry Flynt in this case is publishing Hustler, which I must say I never bought in my life, but I saw a few issues, you know, on the coffee tables here and there, and you know, somehow we put that label, that sleaze, out of the tastelessness to the whole person. And then suddenly you are surprised when you discover that that person has much more to it than just this one side. That he has much more sides which are, to my surprise, rather admirable.
You've said that one of the reasons why you were interested in the movie is because you're interested in freedom of expression, and you lived under two totalitarian regimes growing up in Czechoslovakia, first the Nazis and then the communists. And I'm wondering if some of Larry Flynt's uses of the right to free speech seemed trivial to you, both the pornography and things like nude photographs of Jackie Onassis. Having been deprived of free speech, did this seem like such a trivial way of taking advantage of it?
Yes, there is a lot of trivial things in what Larry Flynt is doing, and there is a lot of, you know, tasteless things in which what he's doing. But... you know, freedom of the speech is much bigger than Larry Flynt himself. And if he will serve for me to make a movie which will somehow eloquently, you know, say it's, you know, what I want to say about how important is the freedom of the speech, then why not to do it? You know, it's a... You know, this country really never experienced censorship. And so we are taking the freedom for granted, and we don't know what kind of terrible consequences the loss of freedom of speech can have. Because, it might ruffle some feathers when I say, yes, we have to strive for 100% freedom of the speech. Because once you open the door to censorship, it never stops with pornography. It never stops with smut. It starts to spread. You know, who is going to decide what is obscene and who is not obscene? What is not obscene?
Was there pornography when you were growing up in Czechoslovakia?
No, there was not pornography. You know, that's the funny thing. You know, it's probably for this, moralists who are calling for censorship, the totalitarian regime would be ideal. Because for 40 years, you wouldn't see any pornography on Czech television or in Czech movies or on the magazines racks. You wouldn't see any, violence, anything like that. Everything was... And the good question is, do you think that any kind of a bad things which we try to blame, our moral relaxation for, that they didn't exist in those times? Oh, my God. They were as rampant as always before and always after, It's the basic... Look, the basic difference between the totalitarian philosophies about art and our philosophy about art is that communists and all the totalitarian regimes, they want art to portray life as it should be. While, in the history of great art, art is supposed to portray the life as it is. And that's the basic difference. And believe me, there is nothing more boring than the endlessly seeing some, moralistic tales, either in the print or on the television or in the film, which is showing you some role models and the life as we should live it.
Milos Forman is my guest, and he directed the new movie, The People versus Larry Flint. Now, let's talk a little bit about the casting for the film. Let's start with Woody Harrelson, who plays Larry Flint. How did you decide to use him in that role?
Well, I had the part of Larry Flint was the only part where in my contract I was obliged to have an agreement, mutual agreement with the Columbia Pictures. So I asked them to give me names of actors who would be acceptable to them. They gave me a list of about five names. Woody Harrelson was on it, but I didn't know Woody. I never saw him on television, and I saw him only in one movie before, which was not, his performance was not very memorable. And but now I must say thanks God that the first two actors who were offered the part turned it down, and then I asked to meet with Woody Harrelson, and I must tell you, from the first evening I met with Woody, I was sold on him entirely, because he is for me the actor of the highest order.
Can I ask who the two people were that turned the role down?
Yes, you can. Tom Hanks and Bill Murray.
Those are interesting choices. First of all, Tom Hanks is so kind of clean cut in his image. It's hard to imagine him as Larry Flint. Bill Murray, I think, could have been very interesting. He's a really fine actor. I'm not saying Tom Hanks wouldn't be interesting. It just seems like such an odd match.
Oh, they would be both great in very different way.
Mm-hmm, right.
But today I can't imagine anybody else but Woody.
Now, Courtney Love plays Althea, who was Larry Flint's lover and then wife and helped run Hustler magazine while she was alive. She died of AIDS. Courtney Love is in that role, and she was married to Kurt Cobain, the rock star who committed suicide, and she's the leader of the rock group Hole. Courtney Love, I think, has had her own problems, her own drug history. Was it difficult for you to, or difficult for her, to work with, a character who has a drug problem, knowing that she had one herself?
Well, it was a problem not for me. It was a problem for the studio. Studio was adamantly against casting Courtney Love. And I... listen, I don't want a conflict before even I start shooting, conflict with the studio, right? So I said, well, okay, who else? And so I was doing screen tests with other people, and Courtney was still, for me, the very, very best. But they were still adamantly against her because, as I was told, nobody would insure her. And that's very serious, because if you can't insure the main protagonist of the film, you are really at the mercy of... it's impossible. That's really serious, because if something happens, then it costs so much money and everything could collapse. So we found the insurance company. And I talked to Courtney. I told her, Courtney, you know, I will fight for you if you give me your word that you will not betray me. You know, it has nothing to do with how much I love you. Even if you betray me, I will still love you very much. But I can't offer you the part. And she gave me her word in such a way that I trusted her. And I said, okay, so here we have an insurance company. I got Courtney's words. Let's go. Studio still was not happy and told me that they will not pay the money for the insurance, and it was not a little money. It was $500,000, unrefundable $500,000. Well, you know, that only shows how she impressed everybody around her. Woody Harrelson, Oliver Stone, Michael Houseman, the producer, Courtney herself, and me, we paid for her insurance from our own pockets.
Really?
And one of the conditions was, for example, every week, there was a person from insurance company all the time on the set watching, so that, you know, if something happens, that they know, because they obviously assumed that we would lie and, you know, cheat them or something. This is ridiculous. Also, she had to give a test, a urine test every week, you know. She was absolutely perfect. She was so honorable.
It's a great performance she gives. Did you give her any advice on how to act since she's not a trained actress?
You don't give advices, you know. You have to just, because, first of all, the talent, enormous talent is there, so you don't work on that. Then there was enormous kind of professional responsibility. She did a research which was mind-boggling, more than I ever, experienced with anybody I ever worked in films. And then, you know, just we had to be a little more patient the first few days where she has to learn a certain, technical things about the camera, about the way films are shot and done and like that. And she learned very, very quickly, and that's, you know, at the end of the shooting, you know, she had the respect that even the most, you know, hard-nosed professionals in the crew. She was really amazing, amazing. And she also brought, you know, I realized one thing which was wonderful. That's probably from her experience on the stage, that every time she stepped in front of the camera, she was giving 100%. And that's from the stage. That's from the concert stage, where she, you know, you can't fake it. You don't have a second take when you go on the stage, right? So every time she stepped in front of the camera, she was giving 100%, and that was very, very inspiring for everybody, also for all the other actors and all for the crew people.
Ed Norton plays the part of Larry Flint's lawyer, Alan Isaacman. He's very good in the role. Tell me how you chose him.
He was my first choice from the first meeting. He was just right, the best for the part. And, you know, the funny thing is that later I learned, you know, he's arguing in the film, the Larry Flint's cause in front of the Supreme Court, you know. His father, Edward's father, is a lawyer who argued in front of the Supreme Court. So that's sort of a funny trivia. But Edward was very important for me because he is the man whom I can identify. He is my ambassador, you know, the normal people's ambassador in the world of weirdness. And His whole personality suits so well. I really trust him. I really believe him. And he is capable of such a convincing performance on the screen that that's so important, you know, because he is expressing my feelings, my views about what's happening in that world of Larry Flint.
Now, you have Larry Flint playing a judge in Cincinnati who sentences Larry Flint to 25 years. In an obscenity case. Did Larry Flint ask to play that part?
No. I was just joking one day, and I had a kick to say, you know, Larry, do you want to sentence yourself to 25 years in prison? And he laughed and said, oh, why not? So he's there, and we all had it. You know, it brought some kind of a wonderful feeling and atmosphere on the set because everybody had a kick out of it.
My guest is director Milos Forman. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Milos Forman, he directed the new movie The People vs. Larry Flint. Something I read that you said about pornography, you've said that pornography, that you were brought up in an environment where pornography was considered bad, and you've never shaken that attitude about pornography. And you also feel especially uncomfortable if someone sees you while you're looking at pornography. And I'd like you to explain why.
Well, it has something to do with my upbringing, I guess, you know, because I was born in a small town. My parents, my father was a teacher, my mother was a housewife, but very active in socials, you know, circles in the town. I was going to church. And all this made me feel like the sex is bad, except in marriage, you know, that it's something I should be ashamed of even to think about, you know. And that just stays with you. It stays with me forever, I guess. You know, when I was, I never bought Hustler. I bought Playboy once I bought Playboy when the Jimmy Carter's interview was in the Playboy, and I was blushing when I was buying it at the corner of 57th Street and 6th Avenue, and I had a feeling that everybody is looking at me, and everybody is looking at me, you know, with such a disdain, and so I was like running home.
No. You could tell me if this is too personal, okay? You grew up during World War II. Your parents were both killed in concentration camps in Czechoslovakia. So you were on your own by the time you were 8, I think. How did you learn about the facts of life without a family?
Well, I lived with other families afterwards, and they were as good people as my family probably was. How do you learn about these things? It's so ridiculous to think today that, you know, we have to just hide everything from our children and then they will be a wonderful citizens, you know. I remember that for us, when I was already 6 years old, I discovered a medical book, you know, in my father's library. And every time I was home alone, I was browsing, you know, through this book, watching this, you know, drawings of human body without clothes. You know, that's how you discover things. You know, also to believe that films or television, that they are so powerful, that you are educating so beautifully your children for 15, 20 years, and then that poor son of mine sees one movie or one television show and all this, my education goes down the drain. It's ridiculous, you know.
Did The People versus Larry Flint get an R rating?
Yes.
Did you have to do any negotiating with the film board in order to get the R as opposed to an X? Did they ask you to make any changes or to take anything out?
No. But it was my decision from the very beginning that I don't want this film to be rated more than R.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's more important that, you know, a lot of young people can see this film than to shock somebody with some, mm-hmm. you know, graphic shots of sex or violence or whatever.
Now, how, as a film director, how do you feel about the rating system?
I think it's good. I think the only censorship should exist in the family. Yes, the parents, they are responsible. They must be responsible fully for the education of their children. If they deem something which is improper for their children until they are adults, you know, yes, they should have a chance. And so the rating system helps them. And I think it works. It works, you know. The danger is that the decision what the children or people can see or hear will be done by some government agency or some community board of censors. You know, that's the danger.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
You're very welcome. Always a pleasure.
Milos Forman directed the new movie, The People vs. Larry Flint. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.